You're listening to KHUM. That was Cat Empire with Falling. Right now, I have Corey Gray in here, who is the lead operator for the Washington State Observatory for the Laser Intrometer Gravitational Wave Observatory. Did I say all that right?
Mostly, yes.
Mostly?
So LIGO is Laser LIGO. Interferometer Gravitational Wave Observatory.
Oh my gosh, talk about a name.
I know, I've said it so many times, like it rolls off the tongue.
Well, that's pretty cool. You have this awesome seminar, which is going on tomorrow from 3 until 4 over at HSU's Native American Forum.
This is true. Yeah, this was not really planned. I'm here on vacation, and I guess people heard that I used to go to school at HSU. And so I was recruited to give a few talks, also see some of the students. And then, yeah, I'll give the main talk is going to be tomorrow at 3 p.m. at the Native Forum at HSU.
So now you're working all weekend.
Yeah, tomorrow won't be a vacation day. It'll actually be a work day. So that's nice for saving time.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, yeah, exactly. But you, first, before we really get into the interview, one of the people that you work with, I guess, in the organization made this awesome parody.
Yeah, it's not somebody I work with. We just all, there's so much media or social stuff that's been going on since our announcement about 6 weeks ago. And we just find all these cool things that people have been getting excited about with gravitational waves. And so this guy who goes by Acapella Science, he does a lot of parodies of songs and stuff for different types of scientific events. And so this is his take on our gravitational wave detection.
You're listening to KHUM. That was definitely my favorite rendition of that song.
Cool.
And it's about LIGO and gravitational waves, which is pretty sweet. So anyway, gravitational waves.
Yes.
Yeah. For those people who aren't familiar with gravitational waves, you want to quickly describe exactly, you know, a little bit about them or something like that?
Yeah, I could do my best. Tomorrow I'll have better, it'll be easier when I have visuals to back me up. But basically, gravitational waves are a tiny subset from Einstein's general theory of relativity. And they're just these tiny, tiny, tiny signals that came from his theory. But back in the day, he felt that there'd never be sources, or these would just be a mathematical anomaly. So they wouldn't be something that would come out of his theory. But from his general theory of relativity, Einstein just comes up with a completely different way of thinking about gravity. And so if you have any big objects or any objects at all, even you and I, we all curve the space around us because of our mass. But for humans and the cup on the table, they're so small that you won't see any of this curvature. But for bigger objects like the sun, or even crazier big objects like neutron stars or black holes, they're going to really curve the space around them. And so if you just had a black hole in space, it's going to curve the space around it such that stuff will fall into it or orbit around it or cause a different trajectory in its motion. But that's a static example. But if you had maybe two black holes, or a neutron star and a black hole, or two neutron stars or whatever, if they're moving around in space, so they curve the space around them, and each of them, as they're moving around in space, Einstein said that gravitational waves or wiggles in space-time would be emitted from those huge, dense objects moving around in space. And those vibrations are the signals that we are hoping, or actually we did detect. It's been 18 years since I've been there, so I've always been used to saying it's something we hope to do, but it's a totally different world now that we made the detection. But yeah, so gravitational waves, we detected them, our first event back in September, and then we made the announcement February 11th. And so, yeah, it's just been a crazy world ever since.
And it was one of the last unproven predictions of Einstein's theory of general relativity, right?
Yes, yeah, so it was one of the holdouts. And so that's another amazing thing about it, because of the just to be a part of something that Einstein mentioned, and then to also be a part of the history. So if you think of the arc of everything that's happened from 1915, when he made this original paper, and then to now, to to actually have this detection happen within a within a few months of the 100-year anniversary of his general theory of relativity is pretty amazing. So it's been a crazy last few months.
You must have had a huge cake whenever you...
There's pictures somewhere. So we had a huge cake, and then we also had a big old pile of champagne glasses that we all filled.
That's awesome. Yes. And you all proved this with a piece of equipment or something like that, and it first official day on September 14th, I guess, you were able to prove it almost like really soon into it.
So LIGO's been around for like 30, 40 years, but the actual observatories were built back, I think ground was broken in 97, and then we just went through a building and then a first iteration of the machine, and then after that first iteration didn't make any detections, that's when we turned that off and then made the new advanced LIGO detector, the one that we were really meant to make. And so that one was completed last summer. And then over the summer to the fall, like towards September, is when we got the machine up and ready to collect data. And then it's so crazy that within a few days or on the order of a week or two after starting to collect data, that's when we happened to luck out and catch this one event one night.
And it was black holes, right?
And it was black holes. I mean, black holes have already been detected and there's already a lot of information about them, but to actually directly detect them with the detector is something that we did. And then also to see two black holes merge into each other is something that's never been detected before. So that's another thing that we did. And then the gravitational waves as well. So that's the first detection of gravitational waves. Those are a few big things that happened with this one event that we recorded, which is only about 0.4 seconds long. It's a very quick and fast event, but we get so much information from this event that we detected.
And it doesn't happen that often, so it was pretty sweet that it happened really soon after you all started using the equipment.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know how often these things happen because just made the detection, and we turned on the machine sometime in September, and then we stopped collecting data around... Well, it was supposed to be before the holidays in December, but because we had this event, we extended to the middle of January. And so we're still looking at that data actually as well. So there might be other events. We'll see. But the other thing is that our machine is only partially built. So we're going to go in stages over the next 2 years and get a lot better with our sensitivity. And with better sensitivity, the hope is that we'll get more detections because we'll be able to look farther out into space.
Well, that's really neat that you all proved this. And I think it's really cool because it's kind of weird if you even think about it. Like, for instance, like time passes more slowly for somebody at the bottom of a skyscraper than at the top because of the Earth's gravitational waves. And it's so small that we don't notice it, but it's still kind of, I don't know, I find it really neat. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And then, but gravitational waves are even way smaller than that. So, yeah. That's why a lot of people thought that they'd never be detectable, or we never have the technology to detect these tiny, tiny signals. They're huge where the events happen, but by the time they get here, they're so, so, so tiny.
How did you get involved with LIGO?
I graduated at HSU in 97. I took a few months break and lived in Southern California for a while looking for work. And Caltech had a job announcement up in Washington State, and I wanted to get out of California. And so March of 98 is when I moved up to Washington State.
Okay, sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And that's pretty neat. And you have a dual degree from HSU in physics and applied mathematics.
I'm sure a lot of HSU physics students do the same thing because there's so much math involved that it's only a few extra courses so that you could have actually two degrees. So it's a pretty cool deal. At least when I was there, you could do that. Yeah.
I mean, why only have one degree if you can have two,
there you
right?
go. Yes, this
exactly.
is true.
So that's really neat. So make sure everybody go on out to the trip, The Gravitational Waves Fantastic, which is the best name of a forum ever.
That's my talk. Yes. I know. It just some things like that just come to me every once in a while. Yeah.
It's going on over at the Native Forum over at HSU. And you'll definitely be able to hear a lot more, and you'll have a lot of other cool things going on revolving around the scientific discovery of the century.
Yes. I hope we get a lot of people at the talk tomorrow.
Okay. Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you, Bailey.
For coming in. We're going to take a short break and then get back into some more tunes. Up next, K-Home.